It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast. Guys, we got a fun show planned for you today because Grant and Rocco have each created their own wish list for the Habs and the Sens come draft day, and we're going to get into those. As always, we're going to get to Rocco's Riser of the Week. This week, we have a Mauler of the Week and, as always, our Habs Prospect of the Week. So let's get to it.
Turn up your volume. Because you're about to listen to The Sick Podcast. Recruits Draft Cast.
And with the first overall selection in the 2023 NHL Draft, the Chicago Blackhawks are very proud to select from the Regina Pats, the Western Hockey League, Connor Bedard.
The sickest NHL draft and scouting podcast. It's gonna be sick.
All right, I am your host, Producer Shane, joined by my fantastic co-host, Grant McCagg. Rocco Zappia, fellas, how we doing?
Great, how you doing?
Better than you.
A little choppy, yeah. Apparently, but the weather around here has been god-awful for the past about 24 hours, so we're dealing with that, but we're pushing on through. I'll let you guys do most of the talking anyways. I'll sit back and glitch out as I need to. But you know what? Let's get right into it. We're going to start with the Habs here. And before we do, I'd like to bring up the current rankings or the current draft order as if the season would end tonight. So Chicago would pick first. God, let's hope not. San Jose's second, Anaheim third, Columbus fourth, Arizona fifth, Montreal sixth, Ottawa seventh, then Buffalo, Minnesota, and Seattle. So we're going to start with the Habs here, who should be picking sixth if the standings stay the same. This is a realistic kind of situation for the Habs, right? Sixth. I'd say four to nine is probably the range that they're looking at. So, Grant, we'll bring up your wish list here, and you can tell us why you have these players.
Yeah, I didn't give much detail there, right? I think people know who we're talking about. That'd be Macklin, Celebrini, Ivan Demidov. Celebrini's the center. Demidov's a winger. Lindstrom, Caden Lindstrom's the center. Zane Parekh, right defenseman. Carter Yakimchuk, right defenseman. And Tiija Ginla, who is a winger as well. Now, you'll notice that there aren't any left defensemen on that list, and I think there's good, there's good reason for that, considering that the Canadians have probably go about six or seven deep in guys that are legitimate, either prospects that are going to be NHLers or current NHLers. So not that I don't think that they, if it's definitely the top player on their board, this and that, that they wouldn't take a left defenseman, but all things being equal, I think, I not only think that Parekh and Yakimchuk are the two best right defensemen, I also think they're the top defense prospects. So ideally, if they're picking top six, you got to hope that at least one of those guys is available, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, one will be, and it'd probably be a Ginla. So he'd be my sixth choice out of that group. So I'm hoping it's one of the top five, really, ideally. But I certainly would – it's not settling for a Ginla, I don't think. I think he's going to be a 30-goal scorer at the NHL level and help whatever team he gets picked by. But I mean, Celebrini's obvious.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's not going to have him on their wish list in the top 10. And, you know, I mean, he has a chance to be better than Suzuki even, like, and be the number one center on the team. So that's, and I mean, we're all seeing this year, Nick Suzuki's ultimate upside. I think he can be a point per game two-way centerman. So,
definitely.
You know, that's quite a 1-2 punch. It'd be one of the better, 1-2 center punches in the league 3 or 4 years down the road. Demidov, anyone that's followed me on Twitter this year has seen the, and I mean, followed the podcast, right? Cause we've featured him a couple times. Obvious choice for the Canadians. He'd be, I honestly think that he'd eventually supplant, Caulfield as a first line winger. If he's just that dynamic and bigger, probably better all around, and just like a fantastic playmaker, a better playmaker than Caulfield. So just all around superb. I think he can be a 100-point scorer in the NHL. So you don't pass on that if it's available. The Canadians could use that, obviously. They've been dying for it since somebody with that skill level since Kovalev. You always hear about it. Well, he would be the guy. So, and as well, Caden Lindstrom, hey, 6'4", center with grit and speed that probably be a 35-goal scorer at the NHL level. Again, no team's passing up on that if, you know, if the first two, after the first two guys, I don't think, unless it's perhaps Parekh or Yakimchuk. But in the top five, you need a center. And what team doesn't need a 6'4" center that with 35 goal potential that's gritty? So he'd be a fantastic addition. You know, there's always concern with Doc's faceoffs. So there's still, you know, it's not a guarantee that Doc's going to be a center for his entire career because he's under 40% in the faceoff dot in the NHL, and they're just. Such an animal does not exist, a regular NHL center that's under 40% in the faceoff circle. It's just not there. So he would, you know, and then we've seen him on the wing a lot in Montreal, right? So he can go on the wing. Not a problem there. Some Habs fans are probably going to say, why do you have defensemen on the, you know, on your wish list with the Canadians being so loaded? Well, simple answer is both of them can be first pairing right defensemen. They can, I mean, as much as I love Reinbacher, both these guys have more offensive upside, I think. Mm-hmm. And they're better fits to be on the first power play unit. I mean, Parekh Hudson on a power play, I would pity the wingers that had to deal with that. You know, there'd be ankle. They need cast, like a doctor there with cast for the ankles. All the ankles are broken with those two on the power play. Yakimchuk, just very similar to Mayu, to be honest with you. But I think he's got a little better puck skills. His dangles are just incredible for a guy his size and every bit as good a shot. So he might be just one tier above Mayu. But it's close. And again, you know, you pick one of these defensemen and you deal one or two defensemen that you already have in the system. That might be Mayu, that might be somebody else, because you may not want Mayu or Yakimchuk on your third pairing down the road at some point, but you can't pass on the asset there. And then you deal one of your other defensemen or two of them to fill that spot that you want to fill up front. Yeah, you're getting rid of a good defenseman, but you're going to get back a top six forward if they go that route and they pick either Parekh or Yakimchuk, because it's for 3-4 years down the road, And there's other things that are going to happen. There's moves that are going to be made. The roster will look different in 3 or 4 years. So you pick the best player available. And if at six, the top three defensemen or top three forwards are gone, I think they go, they seriously consider either Parekh or Yakimchuk if they're on the board.
Yeah.
And then sixth, the sixth choice, you know, the consolation prize, and it's a heck of a one, would be Jerome McGinley's son, because I think he's going to be a heck of an NHLer, a two-way forward that will score lots of goals, that will provide some grit, that's strong, just no real holes in his game, I don't think. So for me, those are the six guys that all have good, really good floors, so they're going to be all really good NHLers, but they also have high upside. And I think any of the six would be great additions to the Canadiens.
I agree. I completely agree with you. Now, Grant, before we move on from your list, I have to speak for the comments, because I can already smell them. All right. There are three notable omissions from your list that people are going to be all over you about. So I'll give you the chance to answer for that. Obviously, Berkeley Catton, Cole Iserman, and Konsta Hellenius. Those are three forwards, right? Okay. We know the Habs fans, they want a forward this year, right? So those are three forwards that have been popular names on social media amongst, you know, the scouts and all that. So why wouldn't they be on your list?
We can get rid of the list, guys, so you can see my reaction here.
show the face. Show the face.
No, I, well, yeah, I mean, sure. They're, if Montreal ends up going on a winning streak here and they end up being picking 8th, 9th, 10th or something like that, then those guys will all be considered. But, I mean, Catton and Hellenius are both 5'11-ish, 170-pound centers. I do not see them supplanting either Doc or Suzuki as your top two centers. So what's that leave you? You're picking a third line center in the top six or top seven, or a 5'11, what ultimately becomes a 5'11 winger in your top six or seven. You can go back over draft history and see how many 5'11 wingers or shorter have been picked in the top seven. It's a mighty short list. So even though I like all those prospects, sorry, the other one was Iserman.
Iserman,
another 5'11 winger. So the Canadians need more size in their top six, I do believe. Yeah. And those three would not provide that. Iserman is always a kind of, he's also, you know, sort of a one-dimensional player. And I mean, some would argue that the Canadians already have that with Cole. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I would argue that he's more than that. But again, you know, I don't know that they're the right fits. And I also don't think that, I don't have any of the three ranked higher than those six that I mentioned. So lower ranked, not the right fits. Pass.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So in the comments section, right, don't come after Grant. Just listen to what he said. There's your answer. That's why they're not on that list. Now, Rocco, we haven't talked about the Sens that much on the channel.
I got my Sens shirt today just for this episode.
It's due time we give the Sens some love because you're from the Ottawa region. You're a big fan. So first, before we get into your list, why don't you tell us what the Sens would need at the draft? What are some gaping holes in the prospect pool? What do they need to improve on the team? Like, give us your thoughts on that.
Well, if you take a look at the NHL standings, I say there's probably quite a few things they could probably improve on. At this point, the season is not done even remotely close to what they had hoped. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for that that I don't need to get into right now. They've been playing better under Jacques and Alfie, and you know, that's fine. They'll carry that into next season, I hope. But this is classic Sens. Turn it on the second half of the year and ruin a lottery pick. I said it one of the first episodes I came on the pod. I'm just waiting for it. And here they are right on schedule, beating all the best teams in the league and losing to Anaheim and Chicago like they always do. I don't understand, but that's fine. What they need more than anything, three words, right-handed defenseman. More than anything, that's the biggest glaring hole in their active roster and in their prospect pool. Now, their prospect pool isn't super deep. At the moment, most of their bigger names and guys that have really risen up the ranks are now playing. And the days of them, and you know, since Pierre traded the last two high picks we had, so you know, there's no guys coming from the last couple drafts because we didn't even have our own picks. So, thank you. This year we are going to have our own pick, and it's going to be a high one. So there's a handful of right-handed defensemen that I think would be very good fits in Ottawa. And we could bring up the list at this point as well. That is the biggest glaring need for us. Now, that said, like I said, there are not a lot of high-end pieces in the prospect pool at the moment. So at a certain point, you know, there may be a mindset of maybe best player available, but I do think that a right-hand defenseman needs to be prioritized if one of these guys are available. Now, you know, I'll start at the top. Celebrini, obviously, he's only in contention if they win the lottery. We can pass over him. We've talked about him a lot. He's pretty much consensus top pick in the draft. So if we win the lottery, you know, there he is. But other than that, he's not a realistic option. The other guy on this list who I actually don't believe to be a realistic option for Ottawa is Caden Lindstrom. And it's not because I wouldn't love to have him, but just because of where Ottawa is, they're not going to finish in the bottom three, probably. Lindstrom's not going to, he's not going to be there. He's not going to fall to where they're picking at 6 or 7. Like Grant said, 6'4" center who can skate, physical, score a ton of goals. Like what else do you want? He's going to be gone by the time the Sens come up to pick again, unless they win the lottery, in which case they're probably taking Celebrini. Anywho. Mm-hmm. Now the other five guys on this list, I could see each of the five realistically being there at number 7 overall. Just from the last few weeks at the rink, talking to some different scouts, there's some differing opinions on what order these guys belong in. And every time I talk to someone, I hear a little bit of a different order. So Demidov, again, Leparek, Yakimchuk, and Levshinov could all be there at number 7. Now, who do I really want? It's no secret who I've been a massive fan of all year long since the first game I watched him is Zane Parekh. The guy absolutely blew me away with his offensive ability, his creativity, his edge work. Anything that you can think of in the offensive zone, he's got it in spades. And his defense is a lot more impressive than I was led to believe I should expect the first time I went into watching him. For me, that's the guy that I want. He's my number one defenseman in this draft. He's number one for me on my Ottawa Senators wish list. I think just a world where him and Jake Sanderson play a regular shift together would just be something nasty. And it would be like having Eric back, maybe would be his upside. And I don't want to put that kind of pressure on him or that kind of expectation. But when you watch him, he does remind me a lot of Eric. And I watch a lot of Erik Karlsson in my day. And there's a lot of shades of him in this Parekh kid. And And further that, I think Parekh actually has a bit of a toughness element that maybe Eric didn't have as much. He doesn't take it, and he's happy to give guys shots. So I'm a really, really big fan of him. I'm going to Toronto, to the GTA this weekend to see. I'm going to catch three games over the weekend. I'm seeing Parekh in person two more times. They don't come to Ottawa anymore this year, so I'm making a special trip just to make sure I love him as much as I think I do before I keep running my mouth about him. But for now, that's the guy that I would be really, really excited for Ottawa to have more than anybody. Now, Yakimchuk would be next for me. 6'3", 200+ pound, his hands are soft as silk, especially for a big defenseman. It's pretty wild to see his shot. Maybe one of the best point shots in the draft, if not the best. He can bury, he can create. He's really, really good in his own end. He's physical, he's big. He actually has very good edge work. His top speed maybe leaves a little bit to be desired, but I don't think it's going to hold him back at all. He really is a little more attention to detail in the D zone, but he's not a perfect prospect. None of them are. I'd be really excited to add that kind of big body, skating, physicality, offensive ability, the shot. You know, it's not, and he's Canadian. He's a Canadian kid too. I almost didn't say that, but he's Canadian, and I don't care. You need Canadians on your team. They know how to win. They've been brought up around growing up. The only dream is a Stanley Cup. The only thing that they care about is making it in hockey. It is a point for him over maybe some of the other guys. The third right-handed D. Now, I've changed my opinion about 50 times on this guy already this year. Every time I watch him, he seems to be kind of a little bit Jekyll and Hyde, which worries me a little bit. But the good games that he has, you're really, really, really impressed. Another right shot D. He can skate. He can shoot. He can move the puck, although me and Grant have had a little bit of debates about just how well he moves the puck sometimes. And he can get a little bit lost in his own end. He's the guy that I might have the most concerns about, just because he's not very polished. He can puck watch. He can cheat for offensive opportunities. But by the same token, he's playing against some really, really, really good competition in the NCAA. Michigan State's not a joke. That's a really good program, and he's playing big minutes for them, and he's putting up numbers for them. So that says something. I think he's a guy that's going to need some refining. He's going to need someone who really knows how to develop the defenseman and clean up the warts in his game, because make no mistake, there are some, but he does have all of the tools in the toolbox that really give you something to get excited about. And I think if you put him into the right system, with the right guys surrounded by the right people, you just got to rein him in a little bit. It's a bit of a wild horse sometimes. And that's fine. He can learn to play a little more reserve, and guys have done it before and they've thrived. He's got all the tools. But I do have more questions about him than I do about Parekh and Yakimchuk. And that's why I have him third of that group of right-handed defensemen. Now the two wingers, I would be surprised if Demidov was around when Ottawa was picking. That would surprise me, but He's Russian. He's playing in the Russian Junior League. He's not in the KHL. He's not getting to play international tournaments. We're not going to see him at the U18s. Didn't see him at the Hlinka. So it's tough. And you have your Russian scouts there, but when you're picking that high, you ideally want your head scouts and ideally your GM too to have one, if not multiple, live viewings. And that's just simply not possible right now for him. Mm-hmm. And that may hurt him. I don't know. Where I have him on my list of who I think will be the best player 5 years from now versus my prediction of the NHL draft order, I have him in two different spots. And I'll phrase it like that, because he has, as far as I'm concerned, he has the most pure offensive upside, even more than Celebrini. He has the most pure offensive upside in this draft. I agree with Grant. He has 100-point upside as a winger, but not the biggest. He's Russian. He's a winger. So who knows where this guy goes? If he ends up there on Ottawa's doorstep and say they pick seven, if he's sitting there, you got to really, really think about it. And an offensive winger might be not really what they need the most, but he's that good that unless you're – tell you what, give me Parekh over him for Ottawa, but But if it comes down to Demidov or Yakimchuk, I'm gonna have to really, really think about that. Even though they don't need him, he's that good that I think sometimes you just don't overthink it. And if he's that good and you believe he'll come over and play and thrive, it'd be hard to pass on him because his skill set is just, it's just friggin' bananas how talented this kid is. The last guy I talk about, Teejay Ginla. Again, I don't know that a winger is necessarily what the Sens need as much, but I am a big, big, big fan of his. I'll echo pretty much the same points that Grant made. I don't have any questions about him becoming any less than a relatively steady 30-plus goal guy, probably a first-line player, second-line at worst, probably be an all-situations player, probably be the kind of guy that a coach is going to want to lean on a little bit and will earn his trust. The bloodlines sure don't hurt at all. You got to like that. He grew up around the game, and that's a massive, massive, massive advantage because all those things that Jerome got to experience and all the lessons that he learned, Teej is going to be years ahead of his peers in terms of learning lessons about the game, how to carry yourself like a pro, work habits, competitiveness, how to win. Those sort of things take time to learn, and I think when you grow up with Jerome again as your father, you have to consider those – and that to be an advantage there for him. That said, I just love the way he plays. So he'd probably be six or seven here. There's Perek is the guy that I really badly want for Ottawa. Yakimchuk's right there with him. I think they'd be the two best fits. But any one of these guys on this list here, I'd be excited to introduce him to the prospect system. Any one of them would immediately become our top prospect. Again, thanks to not having picks the last couple of years. You know who you are. Thank you very much.
He's no longer there. He's no longer there. Don't worry.
I have PTSD. It's pure traumatic stress disorder. every day I wake up and I think we're going to be losing another first round pick somehow, but that's fine. One more to go in 2026 and then that's it. But for me, that's my Ottawa Senators wish list. Three words, right-handed defenseman, and there's a few good ones.
Love it. Love it. That's awesome. So in the comments section, let us know your favorite team and who you want your team to select. We know Grant's answer. We know Rocker's answer. Grant, you got something?
I got my hand up. Yeah. Can I comment on?
Of course.
Please do.
And you should have asked him to comment on my Habs list too, but that's it was perfect.
Well, the lists are very similar, so I think the comments echo each other. Yeah,
my list was perfect, so we couldn't really debate it.
Exactly.
My wish list for the Habs is the three guys, Shane, that you mentioned that all the fans want, the 3, 5, 11. Yeah. Like that's my wish list for the Habs. Just what you guys, that'd be a Montreal pick right there, another small skill guy. So have at it.
Yeah,
and then one of the guys you want drops down. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, the first six guys on your list, I have absolutely no qualms with, and even Lev Shunov, I get it. You know, he'd be a good addition. I mean, you can't really argue it. But what I would consider, and again, you have to, your list and to a certain degree mine are both kind of needs lists. Are they now? You can argue all you want. I think Saleyev's going to be a better NHL defenseman than Lev Shunov, and it may not be close. Lev Shunov might get some more points, but as far as a shutdown defenseman goes, I don't see anybody coming close to Saleyev. And in my mind, that's what Ottawa needs as much as anything. Now, yes, you have a lot of left defensemen, but I also do think that you trade Chychrun or Shabbat or both of them, get a right defenseman that can help you now. Wait for Shalev to come along. If it's 2-3 years down the road, however long you have to wait, and what's been Ottawa's biggest Achilles heel the last few years? Giving up too many goals. It could be argued that. I mean, there's lots of pieces in the top nine, top six. You've got scoring. That's not an issue. You don't have that Saleyev back there. And in my mind, you draft the best player available and you trade other guys if, you know, when the time comes. But to me, I think they want to contend next year. No matter which one of those guys that you draft, those defensemen, they're not helping the team that much next year, probably. Like, Akinchuk's going to likely need a year. Perek maybe plays next year.
No, they all need, I wouldn't have a single one of them up there next year.
Right, right. So you're not helping the team next year to contend. But if you draft Zalaevs, let's say, and you trade Shabbat or Chychrun for that right defenseman that you could use.
Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Then you might contend next year. And then also when you get Zalaev, you've got that friggin' shutdown guy. Him and Sanderson killing penalties. Mm. Ooh. You know?
Well, yeah. So that number seven spot, that last spot on my list, I debated between three guys, between Levshinov and between Zalaev and Boyum too.
Boyum?
Buum? Yeah. Buum.
That's the other guy.
Yeah, I went back and forth, and honestly, if those end up being the pick, personally, on my personal list, I do have Boyum and I have Zalaev both ahead of Levshinov, just on my own draft list. So I get the sentiment there of taking the best player available. Now, I wouldn't be upset with you. Either one of those guys, I'd be more than happy with to add, because I do believe both of them are very, very good players, and I think they'll both be impact players at their respective roles. I very much agree with your take on Zalaev, and no, Ottawa doesn't have that. That said, I think if they could have traded Shabbat or Chychrun for an equal ability right-handed defenseman, I think they would have already done so. I don't think that necessarily that...
It might be a younger guy. You know,
yeah, and we'll see. I would bet my ass that one of them is gone by the trade deadline. I don't think they'll move both. I think it'd be silly to move both.
Right,
you have three good lefties. You're going to keep two of them. Now, yeah, I get what you're saying. It's never bad. You know, you can always trade guys. I do think that this cohort of defensemen, I think they're all very, very close. So, I don't know how much difference.
How often have you seen Levshinov? Like, you're making it sound like you've changed your mind 50 times on him. Well, what, in two videos or three videos or what?
No, probably three games at the beginning of the year, and then the one that you mentioned the other week, and then the couple highlight packages that you sent me. But I've seen him enough to know that there are two sides to his game, and I've seen both sides. I've seen him look really good, and I've seen him look not so good at all. So
okay.
I do understand why, you know, like I said, I have Buyam and Zalaev higher than Levshinov on my own list right now. But when it comes to Ottawa, just because of how much they need it, I could see them maybe veering that direction. But they'd have to be certain that they can clean up the warts in his game. I'm not certain that the warts in his game will be cleaned up, which is why I have him. You know, there's really six pretty consensus group of six defensemen at the top. I have him in the sixth spot of that group. But because of Ottawa's need, if they're convinced that they can get the good out of him and leave the bad behind, then I've got time for it.
Yeah, and he's Belarusian too. You know, like you were saying, take the Canadian or whatever.
Yeah.
He's,
yeah, I mean, yeah, it's certainly,
So
no, for sure. I don't want to sound like I'm making him sound like the best thing.
You have said that you are going to watch him a little more, and I mean, we're going to do that down the stretch. It's going to be very important for all these guys. No, like this all comes with an asterisk, right?
Playoffs
are coming up for all of these guys. And there could be a guy that we haven't even named that ends up just having a fantastic playoff. And you say, whoa, wait a sec here. I want that guy, you know? So that certainly, both of our lists aren't etched in stone, and it's, a lot can still change. It is only February. And
exactly.
You look at draft lists, I can go back and show you some. Oh, it's crazy. The difference that just from the end of February until draft day, how much lists can change, and guys rise that even after the season ends, you see guys rise sometimes, So
exactly.
Yeah.
You mentioned playoffs. Lavshinov, I'm particularly because of the holes in his game, that like those type of high intensity against a quality competition, those things are going to matter a lot for a guy like that. And when I said I went back and forth 50 times, I'm exaggerating a little bit. But earlier in the year, if you tend to focus more on the good of players, and then as you get to learn their games, you nitpick them a little more throughout the season. And that's kind of what I'm doing more now, paying attention to the negatives a little bit more, which I had him higher, dropped him down, but I still think he has the potential to be a heck of a prospect.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's some teams I think that have him top five. He might even be gone.
Six, so. I had this conversation with a good buddy of mine earlier today. We were talking about the different defensemen, and he had his opinions and I had mine. And I said, look, realistically, I could see any of these six defensemen. They all bring something slightly different to the table. They don't have, there's not two of them are exactly the same. And I could realistically see, I've seen games where any one of them would have looked like the best of the bunch, and any one of the six might have been six of the bunch. Either way, all six are very, very good prospects with a lot of tools in their toolbox, and it's too early to know. And six different guys, you'll get six different orders. I'm convinced of that. They're close.
Yeah, exactly. All right, I think it's time. Cue the music. It's Rocco's Riser of the Week. Let's do it. All right, Rocco, who do you got this week?
Ludo. It's getting shorter every time.
Yeah, it is. Where's the video? We got to pull the video up here. There we go. All right. Number 16 on your screen, we got Jack Berglund, 6'3", 205-pound center. I'm going to say this wrong, for Färjestad in Sweden, playing for their junior team primarily, their U20. Wearing number 16 in this game for Sweden. This is at the World Junior A Challenge that happened a couple months ago. I wanted to pick this game just because it is against North American skaters, which I find a little bit easier to judge the Euros sometimes. So in his U20 season, he's got 14 goals, 32 points in 37 games played. He's also been called up this year for 7 games for the big club in the SHL, where he has had 1 goal. Not huge production, but just to get called up as a junior draft eligible player to that league, that impresses me just on its own. Also represented Sweden for the U18 team a couple times, both at this tournament and at the Five Nations. He's got 5 goals, 8 points in 14 games for them. Plays a two-way game. He's a two-way center. He stood out to me at times, both offensively and defensively. At 6'3", 205, you want and expect a physical game, and he does have that, so you're happy about that. There's nothing worse than a big guy who's soft, and this guy's definitely not. He's more than happy to throw the body around, and he uses his body quite effectively as well in different situations, namely when he's carrying the puck. He's really quite hard to get the puck off of once he gets his back turned to guys, so he does use his body very effectively. Now, the caveat to that is bigger guys in junior tend to be able to use their body well and protect the puck, which isn't always the case once they get to the pros quite as much against guys who are just as big and strong. But for now, it looks like a massive, massive asset to his game. Plays a pretty pro style game, especially for a young teenager. Really good along the boards and down low in the dirty areas, which is honestly where the pro game is won and lost a lot of times. So he's not as crazy, flashy, as impressive in open ice as some other guys. But within 3 feet of the boards, which is the hard areas, you know, he really thrives there. So you kind of like that. Now his offensive ability, I don't think there's an elite offensive element to his game, especially not at the NHL level. But I do think he's pretty capable as both a shooter and a passer. And you'll see some highlights of his goals later on. I put a couple goals at the end because he has no points in this particular game. But he is capable offensively. But again, I don't see anything that's going to scream elite point producer at the NHL level. He keeps his game pretty meat and potatoes for the most part. It's simple but effective, and not in a bad way. I think it's pretty, you know, fairly by design. Not super flashy, but again, smart and effective. Good effort level in all three zones. He's not the hardest worker you've ever seen, but he definitely competes. You have no issue with his motor or his competitiveness level. He didn't seem, at least in the games that I watched, to take many shifts off or many situations off. Generally keeps himself pretty well positioned on the ice in both zones. You don't really see him lost out there. He's pretty much always is aware of what's around him. His head's usually in motion. He doesn't get caught staring at the puck. Defensively, he doesn't really lose track of his guy. Stays between his man and the puck for the most part. Gives good support high in the offensive zone and along the boards. So positioning, you like that, especially for a guy who may not project to put up tons and tons of points. He's got to be able to do the details of the game well. And I think as far as teenage prospects go, he does those pretty well. His coach definitely trusts him as an all-around player, which I think speaks to his two-way ability, because he does see time on both the PP and the PK in this game. Now, I believe he's on the second unit for both, but he is seeing notable time on both special teams. So you know that the coach has faith in him to be able to contribute at both ends. Really good net front game, especially on the PP. They stick him in front of the net. They're very, very big body, obviously, who does a good job of screening the goalie while taking away his eyes. That's pretty tough to deal with when you got 205-plus pounds standing at the top of your crease. And he's got a pretty good stick in front of the net, too. He tips one in this first set of highlights against Canada, and then scores a goal on a tip play later on, which you'll see. So good stick in front of the net. So you could do worse than sticking the big body there on the power play. Good net drive. Tough for defenders to handle, especially junior defenders, when he cuts the net. I mean, he's really big and strong. So that's tough for guys to deal with. Some decent ability as a puck carrier once he gets going. There's actually a little bit of shiftiness and some edge work when he has the puck. But skating would probably be his biggest area of weakness at this point, where I'd like to see him improve. His top speed, once he really gets up there, you can live with it. It'll need to improve, but you can live with it. But the quickness and the quick starts in the first few strides, that's what he needs to work on. And it's to the point that I think it may... If there's something that would hold him back, that could be it. He does really, really need to focus on improving the quickness. But again, he's 200 plus pounds at 6'3 as a teenager. That could come with development and strength and turning into a man, basically, on its own. It should improve over time. That said, it's something that you can work on, and he's going to need to work on if he wants to have a realistic chance to be a very effective player. Once he gets possession in the offensive zone, he's quite hard to handle, and he looks very good on the cycle. So that gives you some optimism, and that negates from the speed factor a bit, because if you can control the play on the cycle and you're strong on the puck and you shield it well and you distribute well, then you don't have to play the fastest game. I use this example all the time, but Mark Stone can't skate a lick, and he's one of the best players in the world. So it's not the end all be all. It just happens to be what this particular prospect might need to improve on. But overall, I really do like his game. And then as far as projections, I could see him going from anywhere in the second or third round, I think would be a comfortable spot. Tail end of the second sort of thing is where I would peg him now. But I mean, did only watch, a few games of him, three games, and we'll have to see how he looks in the playoffs, and lots of room to move. But yeah, he's a good prospect.
Sounds good. Grant, anything you'd want to add? All covered.
I think he covered it there.
All covered. Fantastic analysis as always. Yeah. Love it.
Detailed, love that's it. For sure.
All right. Rocco, we thank you for your time, my friend.
See what he does to me, eh? How many times did you watch Love Shoot Off? You didn't watch him enough, and now this guy's too detailed. I can't win with you, Grant.
No, I just, awesome. You know, on two views to have that much opinion on him, it's impressive.
All right, Rocco. Well, enjoy your watches of Zane Parekh, and we were very excited to hear about it, too. So
you're not gonna keep him around for the Mahler or what? He's gotta get going.
He's gotta go.
I gotta get going. Unfortunately, there's a lot of things left on the docket today. But I'm looking forward. I'll see three different games this weekend. And I'll get to see in addition to Parekh, I'll see Van Acker and Luchenko and Beaudoin and a couple others. So I'll be able to have some stuff to talk about next week. I'll try not to have too much of opinions on him over the weekend views, but. I'll let you guys know how they looked.
Hit a sore spot there. Well, we're gonna have a trade deadline show next week there. So
yeah, that's right.
We'll look forward to getting your many opinions on that.
I'm not short of opinions, not short of words. I come by it honestly. That's why you have my theme music, eh? It's in the genes.
Yes, sir.
Awesome. Right on.
All right.
Thanks, take Rocco. Care, Rocco.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Bye-bye. All right, Rocco Zappia, busy man's got some stuff to take care of, but we appreciate his analysis as always. Now, Grant, this is interesting here. We have a Mahler of the week instead of a prospect of the week.
So indeed.
Let's take a look at Heikki Ruohonen. I think I did that okay.
Yeah, well, we haven't had Mahler since Surin early in the year, recall.
It's been a while.
We're starting off with a video. He's he had a recent scoring streak there is 7 games in junior. He's playing in Finnish junior, obviously. And he had a 7-game point streak. He had 15 points in those 7 games, which is pretty decent. He's played with the, I first noticed him at the 23 Hlinka last summer. Mm-hmm. He played a decent game in the Fog Bowl versus the U.S. there. Centered one of Finland's top two lines and scored a goal in that game. So I kind of took notice of him there and sort of had him, you know, I had some video that I just put up on his prospect file. But, I noticed I always look at stats for all the junior leagues, and I noticed that his name kept popping up recently. So I did a deeper look, and he's been on a good tear. He's actually tied for 15th in scoring in Finnish junior. Now, considering that he doesn't turn 18 until June, that's pretty impressive to be top 15 in scoring at that young of age. Mm-hmm. He's got 19 goals and 45 points in 36 games, so well over a point a game. So he's putting up the numbers, and you can, as you can see by these, scoring highlights, that he's got some good passing skills, vision, decent shot. So there's a little bit offensive upside there for sure. He likes to get in front of the net, good net front presence, but.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. We're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I looked at his size. He's 6'1", 204. And I noticed, he's got a little bit of, he likes to hit. So the beauty of Instat is that you can, you know, you can key on certain things. We're going to put up a video here of his biggest hits this season.
That's why he's now, the mullet.
Boom. There, Patoon. He uses that size nicely. So you'll notice in all of these that he, I mean, 6'1", 204 at 17 years of age. He's going to be a big boy. I mean, he already is, right? Now, the issue with him, and I think you even saw it in the, you know, the scoring highlights, is he's not, he doesn't have amazing skill. He's not a great skater. Now, part of it might be the fact that he's 204 pounds at 17 years of age. I think what you're going to see him doing is leaning out a bit, right, as he goes along here and puts on a bit of lean muscle and maybe gets a little quicker. Because to play in the NHL, he's probably going to, you know, he's going to have to improve his skating for sure. But he, I mean, he can skate. It's just that he's not, he lacks explosiveness at this point. And in part, I think it's because of his size. Now, but look at these highlights. It's great. Yeah. I get a kick out of these guys that that can just bulldoze. And he's certainly one of those guys. Now, he, I think NHL teams are always looking for, you know, a special dimension, they're always saying, right? And I think he does bring that with his, with being a bulldozer that he is. Now, it's his competitiveness. The guy doesn't take a shift off. He works hard, but he loves to hit. He loves to be physical. And I think that's going to be his forte. I see him coming to North America. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if a junior team, you know, I'd be talking to him in the you know, coming up here to the CHL import draft to see if he wants to come over. Because yeah. I think he plays a North American style, you know. Like, watch this one here. He comes up, oh, he loses it. Boom. Yeah. You know, I mean, you just keep seeing this over and over again. And that's a big defenseman he was up against, you know. But I think he, you know, he's strong along the boards and wins most of his puck battles. He would be effective psyching the puck in the bottom six role come playoff time, I think, you know, if his skating improves and he can keep up with the NHL pace. I just see him being like a William Carrier type, you know, who's found a nice niche with the Vegas Golden Knights, right? I think that's look at that. Jeez. That was the one I thought that other one was, where he just, I guess he was angry that he didn't score and then just
sent him on the bench.
But I like that dimension of his game. I think it's going to be something that appeals to an NHL team that maybe is looking for a bit of sandpaper and size. There is another one in the bottom six down the road, because that's ideally what I think, you know, you're not looking at a top two forward here, but he's got the size, the willingness to hit, and the strength to do it. He knocks guys over continuously. So, you know, yeah, it's not great skill level, but anytime you're playing a top two center role on the Finnish U18 team, tells you that he's got enough skill and enough pace to, you know, that if he keeps improving it, that it'll be up to NHL quality. So what I found is that he's a little bit, I think he's a bit under the radar, to be honest with you. He missed the last U18. The NHL scouts haven't seen him since the summer, you know, and talking to them, they don't all necessarily remember him from the summer. So I don't think he's high on any list right now by any means. But, I mean, if he has a good playoff and people get wind of just how physical this kid is, my guess is he'll get drafted closer to 60 than 150. You know, he's probably going to go somewhere from the third round to the fifth round. Now, if he's still there, you know, after five rounds, bottom, I'm running to the draft table to pick this guy in the sixth or seventh round because he brings a dimension that not many players do in this draft class, and I think you're always looking for a dimension that stands out. And as you can see from those highlights, he's going to be a physical player no matter what pro league he plays in. So for me, he's a good choice as a sleeper, but even more so as the Mahler of the week.
Yeah.
Do you think that was a good choice or what?
For sure. So seeing some of those hits, that fires me up. I love that stuff. So Heikki Ruohonen is our Mahler / sleeper of the week, whatever you want to call him. It was worth highlighting him. Now, Habs fans, it's time for our Habs prospect of the week. And this player is having a pretty good first pro season, all things considered, and that being Jakub Dobesch. So let's dive into that a little.
Yeah. Well, this is from last night. He had a 35 save shutout. So I decided to feature, most of the saves there. So I don't know that, I might run out of things to say here, but look at that. That was kind of cool, using his glove to, he's a bit unorthodox, which
he is. Yeah.
There was another Czech goalie once upon a time that was a little unorthodox.
I wonder who
turned out to be okay.
Yeah.
The Dominator. But you got to love his flexibility, those legs. Like, he covers the whole net when he does that. He goes down. I don't know how I'd break my kneecaps if I tried to do it, but he is so flexible for a 6'4", 6'5 kid. And the way he hops back up from the butterfly, like, his legs and knees are, hammies, got to be so strong. It's just incredible the athleticism that this guy has in his legs. Just great pads. You can't beat this. He does that spread eagle butterfly there and he's covering the whole width of the net. Yeah, he does that when a player is in close, in tight with the puck. And, they're in too close to lift it over his pads. What are they going to do? They can't beat him when they're in close and he does that butterfly. And he does it instantly. But then, just as impressively, he gets back up on his feet.
Yeah.
But even more, like, what's just as impressive in that regard too is rebound control with his pads. He deflects them off to the side just about every time. Rarely do you see a rebound come right back out to the slot. And that's where a lot of rebounds end up getting buried, right? Is when they're when the rebound comes right back out to the slot. So that's not the case with him. He's very controlled with how he deals with his rebounds. So nice poke check there.
Yeah, great stick work.
He does have a good stick. It's hard to move him out of like, you see guys trying to plow him over there, and he just, that was disallowed, obviously, because he got shut out. I'm not exactly sure why that goal was disallowed, but I'm not going to argue about it. You wouldn't have got a shutout if it was. So. But you can see by these highlights that Bridgeport had a lot of good opportunities, and it was almost halfway into the game. They were out shooting Laval by a fair margin, and he kept, it was 0-0. Then Laval, all of a sudden, the last 10 minutes or last, of the second period, popped four goals, and it was game over. So as you can see there, it was 20-14, the shots still 0-0. So he, Dobesch kept them in the game till they got the offense going. So he was, every one of these highlights, you just notice how agile he is on his skates, And even when he does go down in the butterfly, there's not a lot of room up top. And he also comes out and covers the angles quite well. So, it's all about confidence with goalies. And we saw early in the year that, he was having some struggles there and having periods where he'd give up 3 or 4 goals. And
yeah,
Rob Ramage told me, this kid, he wants to win so badly. He's so competitive. And you could tell probably at the start, look at this one, at the start of the year that he was, he was struggling a little bit with that. And, but the last 6 games, his save percentage is .939.
Yeah.
So he's finding that game. Mm-hmm. Look at that save. That was amazing.
Beautiful.
He, safe to say he's finding his game, and that Montreal's got I think he's got starter potential. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think he's a better goalie prospect than Primo at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And, Fowler and him are two pretty decent. Look at that, eh?
Yeah.
I've got another. There's going to be another replay of that after a couple more. But he went to make the poke check, couldn't get to it, and then still made the save with his pad, which was just to show you his athleticism. I really think the Canadians have Montembeau's still fairly young.
Mm-hmm.
Primo's a decent looking backup, potential. Fowler is playing every bit as, here it is here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just great pads. He's got such great pads. And, between Dobas, Montembeau, Fowler, and Primo, I know last year we're saying, they need to draft goalies.
Mm-hmm.
Then, we're not even talking about Volokin and Miller who are looking good as well. So, they got a bunch more picks this year and they may take another goalie, but they aren't going to have to prioritize it this year. We've seen Dobish make that step. Very impressed with Fowler. So all of these guys are stepping up. Primo's, I'm a little more impressed with him this year at the NHL level. He's starting to get comfortable finally at that level. And Montembeau's just proven that he's definitely an NHL goalie and can,
without a doubt,
and can be a decent starter. So the goaltending, I'm a lot more confident about the goaltending today than I was, 6 months ago.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, regardless, it's going to be a step down from Carey Price, right? We have to put expectations on check here because Carey Price, whether you like it or not, was the best goaltender of our generation. That performance, that 2015 Vezina and all that, we're never going to see anything like that again. I'm convinced that was absurd. So to know that we have this depth of good, potentially great goaltending prospects, Habs fans should be really, really excited about that. And Dobesh is a part of that for sure. 6'5", long, agile, stretchy, those are the qualities you want out of a starting goaltender. So very exciting stuff. And he's, like you said, he's finding his groove in Laval, maybe a harder start to his pro career, but now he's fully in it. And the Laval's getting some good goaltending, right? Kaskasuo got signed now. He's no longer on a PTO. So, it's going well. It's going well in Laval, and that's, you'll love to see it, folks. That's going to do it for us. We've been at it for an hour, but it was a fun one. Let us know in the comments who your team should select at this year's draft. Let us know what you thought about Grant and Rocco's lists. And again, if you're concerned about the 3 omissions that I mentioned, just go back and watch what Grant had to say. Okay. He explained himself. Let's leave it at that. Grant, anything going on recruits that people should know about?
I've been hard at it, beefing up the profiles in the last 2 weeks. Well over 100 profiles now have multiple scouting comments and videos.
Big time.
So you can look at game videos that, you know, much like what we put up there, but entire games. Some of them are 10, 15 minutes long. So you click on a prospect on the draft rankings, and it'll go directly to their profile. And you can read NHL scouts comments and watch videos. So, I mean, for $1.99 a month Canadian for your draft coverage, I'd say it's well worthwhile to subscribe to our draft coverage.
I would agree to that. Well, folks, thank you for tuning in. As always, we'll see you next week. Take care.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time. Follow the Sick Podcast Recruits Draftcast on YouTube, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.